This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hashtag no music, no intro. I hope I'm using the Yeti, Mike. Ryan, I'm using the Yeti, man. I sometimes I have issues with the Yeti, but the way our Discord was clowning us so hard, bro. Like,
I was like, damn. I got the Yeti too. I'm like, damn,
bro. Yeah, it sounded like garbage out here, but sincerely, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, then obviously you're not in our Discord. But long story short, first, before we get into anything on this podcast, from the bottom of my heart, I really want to thank the entire members of our Discord, everyone that supports us. Thank you so much, period. But I want to give a special shout out to the members of our Discord who just your pure generosity and sincerity for just two dudes who just record a podcast and talk about football, talk about a football team that we all love. Some of y'all also love them a little too much. Haven't made that transition. LGBT podcast. Thank you so much for your generosity. Ryan and I can't thank everyone enough. Bayou Punisher, thank you. Frederick, thank you. Michael, thank you. In London, thank you. Joey, Elise, David, Daniel, there's Corey, Brian, Brock, Matt, G. Bad Company 69. I know I'm missing some other people but I'm just going off the top of my head of just people who were the most active. Also want to give a shout out to Julio, who supported us for such a long time. Miguel lives out there in the AV, not too far away from me, who was our first Patreon. Mm-hmm. Want to give a shout out to Brian, who's Brian O'Rourke, our first sponsor. Thank you so much. We hear you. Our goal between now and next March 2023, which should mark April. I don't remember when exactly we recorded with Tony the first time. I know it was before the draft, so maybe it was either March or April of 2020. But just thank you. I've already ordered like the most top of the line microphone there is to have. I have an interface coming along the way. We're going to do some things that we hope can improve the audio quality of the show, even as simple as using a different type of program that we use to record. Thank you. So got Bunchy. This is almost how I feel like if you win an award and you got to do your acceptance speech and like, but truly.
Did you say Brian already? You know, Brian,
I did.
Not Brian O'Rourke, but
the other. Brian. Yeah, I did. Contrarian Brian. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mentioned him too.
Twitter limit user, character limit user, Brian.
We want this show to be the best that it can be, and obviously you guys, y'all want it to be the best that it can be as well. So truly, truly thank you. I don't know what else you want to add to it, but I'm still kind of floored and taken aback by what happened.
I'm floored every day just by us doing this podcast and the support and the listeners that we have, and you know, the tweets, the kind tweets, the, you know, the culture we're trying to build. Like I said, the podcast or two ago, you know, we're trying to build our own little mini culture in this whole thing. So, I'm just excited about it, man, just to see where it goes. So, if you haven't, you know, joined a Patreon yet, like I said, at any amount that's comfortable for you, and, you know, join the Discord. It's a perfect break from Twitter. You know, Twitter just get annoying sometimes. It's like, and you can just come to Discord, talk about anything. Just put it out there, talk about Saints, talk about other teams, talk about movies, relationship, whatever. Like
video games, whatever.
You know, you can link up and talk about it. And Discord is just the perfect location for it.
Oh, forgot our dude Eric. Forgot our dude Eric J. Bird. Who else am I forgetting? Luke, who does landscaping. Don't want to forget out Mark, who also, you know, just everybody. I try to hit on everybody. We had no intention of recording tonight, but you know what we saw in the Discord, man. I was like, Ryan, we got to record something. And luckily, the Saints gives us things to talk about with training camp still happening. We're gonna kind of keep this episode short. It's a Friday night. I worked on my day off. Being in juvenile hall for the last 2 days has been a whirlwind. Let me tell you. Let's get into.
Lisa's not New Orleans.
Oh,
juvenile hall, boy. They trying to shut it down.
Is it that bad, bro?
Oh, it's bad, bro. Like they have breakouts, like. It easily every week, people just like kids just break out of there. Like, we'll break out and then just rob people in the neighborhood next to it. It's terrible.
You got it, man. You live in New Orleans, man. You got to say you have your head on the swivel, bro.
You got to be ready, bro. Go ahead, though, man.
Ryan,
yo,
you know what a life goal is for me, bro?
So,
wouldn't be able to take this tank top off on the beach, bro. Just pop it off.
Pop it off. It's summer.
I'm ready. I'm going to Hawaii, and I just gotta pop it off. And I think I found something that's going to help me get to where I want to be. I gotta tell you about this thing I came across called Vertimax. Vertimax is the leading sports performance and fitness equipment that's used by NFL teams, NBA teams, D1 college programs. It's legit. I was just on TikTok. You know how we do, scrolling, cat videos, laughing. And somehow in my algorithm, I saw, is this Amari Cooper? He's on a Vertimax working out? Amari Cooper, an NFL player? I do some research, found out starting quarterback of the Saints, Jameis Winston, has a Vertimax. Drew Brees. You know, the workouts on the sideline, going through it on the field when you're not playing. When you're not playing, he had a Vertimax platform. So I know these things are legit. So I get it. I'm trying to get to a goal. I want to pop this tank top off when I go to the beach. I want you to be able to pop your tank top off. Bree be like, God yes. Damn, baby, hey. You looking good.
She already liked that, yo.
So we have some listeners. We got some workout enthusiasts who love the workout. We got listeners who have kids who are in sports and they're doing great in sports. I gotta say, this Vertimax is great because it helps you improve your sports performance in all sports. I'm talking soccer, I'm talking lacrosse, football, track and field, basketball, whatever you name it. Vertimax machines can help you get to where you want to go. You got to check it out. Do what I did. Go to Vertimax.com or follow them on social media, all social media platforms. That's Vertimax. Again, that's Vertimax. We'll get there. Hot boy summer, popping the tank tops off, all because of Vertimax. We got to talk about the huge news, man. And bring Mike Thomas back, bro. I think he's like we have said on this podcast, you know, you give us 70% of mic, 80% of mic, we good. But the video that we saw today, right?
You're talking about, and you think about like the regular season is still over a month away.
Yes.
And he already looking like 90%.
Man,
is that a stretch to say 90%?
I'll ask the route he put on Paulson Adebo that he shook off, he got him to get shooken off of him, and he made a vicious cut to his left in the end zone. I said, God damn, like I didn't think we might hit ever be able to see him make a cut like that again, Ryan.
What I like seeing is he showed us those what can you do?
Yes.
Do that? It's like, well, what you gonna do with that? You know, you just got beat, you know, and that's what I wanted to see from him. You know what I'm saying? I know he could still do the kind of physical, you know, getting the body of the DB type catches, but I wanted to see, can he get open, how he gets open? Because, you know, we know he's not like a 4-3 type dude, you know what I'm saying? But he's a quick, smart, you know, savvy, get out of breaks, set people up type of wide receiver. And that's what I wanted to see from him. And that's what I was kind of waiting before I even like said anything. I just kept watching and watching. Now I'm like, okay, I'm starting to see it. I think now the only thing he needs to work on, well, I think it's just, you know, it's just the ability to sustain for a whole game. Because you got to understand, yes, man, wide receiver, they running routes 50, 60 snaps, man. They running. You know, even on running plays, you know what I'm saying? So that's putting a lot of pressure on that ankle. So I think for him, it's just getting to that point where he's fully comfortable, where he could just knows that ankle is going to withstand like the full testament of a game, practice during the week, then a game, practice during the week, then a game, over and over for 17 weeks, hopefully more than 17 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where he had, but bro, that's like, man, that's like, said like a month or two ago, if you would have told me he'd have been looking like that, I'd have been like, man, please.
Wouldn't believe you, bro.
Wouldn't believe you, bro.
Like, can we also, like, mention the fact that he was doing these things against Paulson Adebo, who's arguably, just by reports and observations, has had probably the best training camp of maybe any player on the entire team. Oh,
bro, you can tell the wide receivers got sick of that shit. Between Chris Olave and Mike Thomas, you can tell it's like, nah, we tired of this.
Can we talk about that Chris Olave route, though, nigga? Whoa!
Another one of those, like, well, what you gonna do? You know?
We have harped on so long the wide receiver room. Harped on it. Like, since the creation of this podcast, bro, we've been harped on. I wanted T. Higgins so bad with that year we first started doing this podcast. Man. And to now see that the wide receiver room, it will likely have a Mike Thomas, who's at least going to be at 90%, if not 100%. You got Chris Olave that, thus far in training camp, everything that you and I thought of him as a prospect, and this is even before the Saints drafted him. Like,
yeah.
I remember me and you having a conversation about Chris Olave, his sophomore year, whatever, not this year, but the prior year. We was like, man, this Chris Olave kid about her balling, bro. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of shocked when he went back to school. We was like, really? Went back to Ohio State? Everything we thought about him as a prospect has transitioned, or we've seen glimpses of in his transition to the pros. Jarvis Landry, just come to work.
Every day he's catching stuff. It's just like,
just come to work.
12 yards, work. 13 yards, 15 yards. It's like.
And then the top three is set. And then in terms of after that, when we out, it's kind of, I mean, I know Deontay Hardy still has the speed. We've seen it with the 60-yard touchdown or that long touchdown pass from Jameis. I will say something, though. Like, you ain't really heard much from Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith this training camp, bro.
Really not. Yeah, that's true.
Like, and we're going to do our 53-man roster prediction probably after the second preseason game. We did the pre-training camp version of it. We're gonna update it after the second preseason game. But I'm just gonna give a sneak peek, bro. I don't know if Tre'Quan and Marquez gonna be on my final 53. I mean, I gotta see how things look in preseason. I'm just saying. And you also have a player like Kurt Merritt.
Yeah,
Kurt Merritt. I tweeted today, bro. He gonna make DA and Jeff Ireland just be sweating when it comes to those 50, those cuts, man. They gonna be thinking real hard.
so fascinated to see him in a preseason. It's, man, his preseason is huge.
Huge.
You know, because, you know, on paper, you know, Callaway and Smith should beat him out.
On paper, yes.
On paper. But, you know, man, if he could show something a little tantalizing, you know, man, he got a chance. I'm just saying he has a chance.
He does.
It's still a low probability that he makes the roster, but he just got to keep working at it. He just got to come. Because every time I look up, like, man, this dude is just a little playmaker, you know?
I agree. And so I said all that long-winded statement to just illustrate how drastically the wide receiver room has changed in, like, what, the last 2 years?
Unbelievable.
It's remarkable, bro.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't just last year. People were last year was the bottom.
Yes.
But it was bad before
that. The year before. Absolutely. And me and you bad. Were like, we were on top of it, bro. It was like, it's about and they got help, and obviously a lot of it's going to be a lot predicated on the health of how healthy they stay, et cetera, et cetera. But I tweeted this today, and obviously if you go through what I've said on this podcast and what my feelings of the team has been throughout, like, this offseason, from like when offseason first started till now, I said when the offseason started, and after free agency, I kind of got going, blah, blah, blah. I said they were looking kind of 6 to 8 winish. Yeah. I believed it, bro. That was before the draft.
They were.
I said they were slipping 6 to 8 winish. And I tweeted today, I said, if Jameis can just play moderately decent, that is the only, I said, qualified it as saying moderately decent, and the team can stay moderately healthy. And I mean, health is relative in the NFL, but like last year seemed it was a huge, like, that was just an outlier in terms of just how bad they got hit injury wise. So if they can stay moderately healthy, this team, in my opinion, should get to 10 plus wins in the NFC, bro. They should.
I mean, I've already boosted my prediction, has been 10 wins, but I'm boosting it to 11, bro. It's over 11, you know, at or over 11. Yeah. I mean, and I'm trying not to be a homer. I'm trying to be.
Yes, we're trying to be as objective as possible. But all we could go by is the talent that has been constructed on this team. Right. The team is. I mean, yeah, I get it. Like Drew's not at the helm, but. And I don't want to say if you take the quarterback away, because quarterback's huge, like, part right. of the equation.
But they put such a support system around the quarterback. It's like
the Eagles, bro.
Yeah, it's like man, you are set up to succeed. Like, if Jameis does fail and the roster is as it is right now, like, man, like he's going to struggle to get a long-term contract the rest of his career, because – he has to be happy. Like, just him, I think that's, you see the urgency when you watch him.
Yes.
Because he knows, like, man, I can't fail. Like, I cannot fail with this team that they got around me right now. I cannot fail. Offensively, defensively, special teams, there's no reason I should fail as a quarterback. And I think that, you know, I'm not going to say weighs on him, but I think he knows that he's got to get out there and just – he ain't got to be a super, and you don't have to be a superhero. Like, that's the thing. He's always tried to be a superhero in college, you know, with the Bucks. Sean Payton kind of reeled him in, you know, last year a little bit. And, you know, and this year he won't have to be a superhero. But we do want to see a little more, you know, just be a distributor, bro. Like, just be a distributor and get your playmakers in action, man.
That's it.
You know, that's
it,
man.
Be
your
point guard.
Be your point guard, man. You don't have to be E-Man, you know?
They doesn't have to be He-Man. Just has to distribute. I want to tell this to fans who listen to this podcast. I want to say this in terms of just, because people are like, oh, should I get excited, blah, blah. I will make the declaration on this podcast that as a Saints fan, I think Saints fans should get excited about this football team.
Me too, bro. I was thinking this today. I was like, this might be hyperbole.
Uh-oh.
But I was, man, I don't even want to say it.
Bro, say it. Come on.
But I think back to how I felt prior to 2009.
Mm.
Well, in that training camp, and I remember reading reports. It's like, I remember Albert Breer coming down. He was like, man, this is the most physical practice I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, I just remember reports and just all the vibes coming out. The defense was just attacking, picking off passes and this and that. And I just remember, like, thinking, like, man, this is our year. But it was, you know, man, 2009, I thought every year was the Saints year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was just a little different. Like, man, I just feel like this the team, you know? And maybe that's just the same feeling I'm feeling this year, where it's just like, yeah, every year I feel like there's a chance. And look, man, Super Bowl is hard, bro. Like,
it's
hard to get there, man. It's hard. Think about that. We had Drew Brees at his peak. It was hard to get there. We had Drew Brees with a good defense and Alvin Kamara and all that. It was hard to get there. And you think we're going to get there with Jameis Winston at quarterback? Like, that's, man, that's just asking a lot.
That's saying,
like, the team is good enough. I think they could do it. They could do it. You know what I'm saying?
I think they can. I think they could, too. Like, obviously, also getting to the Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, let's just be real. Like, there's a lot of fucking luck involved. There's luck. A lot of fucking luck. Like, sometimes you just got to be lucky.
Injury.
Let's go back to 2009, the Robert Meacham play, bro. Like, what are the chances that happens?
Crazy. It never happens. Like, it has never happened
again, bro.
I remember some players from 09. It's just like,
oh, yeah.
That was just crazy.
Easily. But I will say this as a fan, I think Saints fans should get excited. My disclaimer is get excited, but also still have that disconnect, because if shit goes bad, as a co-host of this podcast, I don't want you on Monday, you know, after we done lost to the Eagles for the third season in a row, just like, oh, these motherfuckers can never fucking contain Jalen Hurts. Just mad at the printer, the packing chain.
IT guy.
It's not worth it, bro. So get excited. But just, I want to put that disclaimer in. I wanted to mention this. I didn't write down in my notes. Yesterday, I don't know who the beat writer was. I wish I knew who it was so I could give them, like, actual credit. But they asked Dennis Salen, is he glad that in an alternate universe, they went after a certain player and it didn't work out? And imagine if they were going through what another team that got this player was going through, of like, question how long he's going to be suspended, all the media, blah, blah. Like, are you like, and I was like, I could be wrong, but that might be the first time like someone's asked them about like their pursuit of Deshaun. Like, I know they asked them earlier, but like since then, been like the first time someone's even brought it up, bruh.
Wow, I didn't hear that question.
And I don't know who it was. So if you know, I don't think a beat writer listens to our show. But if you listen to it and that was you asking the question, like, I applaud you. Of course, DA just gave like that standard. All I can tell you is like, I'm just really happy and excited about the team that I have right now. But like, whatever. Like, but that's the thing that still pops in my mind from time to time is like, I wish I could just be like through the roof. Like, yes. And it just goes back to what we talked about with CeeDee, who is now, he was doing like a little holding, not doing, not working out all the way in the practice and training camp. This man, like, he wasn't even spotted today.
Yeah.
I think he might not have been spotted yesterday either. No, he wasn't spotted yesterday. So it's 2 days in a row he hasn't been spotted at training camp.
Didn't Alvin Kamara do that? That last year or the year before? Yeah.
It was the year before. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And DA commented, he got asked about that. DA basically said, I'm just leaving that up to Mickey and CeeDee and his people to figure it out. Like, see, we talked about it last episode. CD should be paid right now. Right now. Yeah. Easy contract. Like, I know the Saints like to, like, oh, well, we got to see what the market is. We want Kenny Moore to get signed for just to stay in CD. Like, why do you guys have to wait to see what the market is? Whatever the what if you set the market, like, the Colts are probably going to pay Kenny Moore.
Yeah.
Kenny Moore. More, because that's just how it works. So, right. Like, be early in on the curb inside. Whatever. Talk about other things that's happened. Marshawn got a muscle strain, left practice early yesterday. Nick Underhill came out and said that was muscle strain, slight thing. Thank you. Your tweet about it was perfect. Just, I need him bubble wrapped until week one, bro.
I don't want to see him. I don't need to see him, man.
I don't. Even if that muscle strain start feeling better, I don't need to see him practice. I know what he can do. I don't need to see it. I will say, though, again, going back to our Discord, someone said, isn't it poetic that Mike Evans a day later, like his hamstring tightened up and he left Bucks practice?
I thought the same thing, man. I was like, well, that's interesting.
You know how, like, they say twins feel each other pain and
exactly,
shit?
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, my Miami hurt, too. Like, what's going on? I'm not nothing that either of us are worried about, or I don't think, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I don't think it's something that you should be worried about. But I don't want to see him in a single preseason game. Because it was in his history dating back to his career at Ohio State. Like, he is just dealt with muscle strain,
soft tissue injuries, and all that.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I didn't put in my notes, and I feel like we haven't talked about this enough. Shout out to our dude Bayou Punisher, who's been on this.
Oh yeah, lot. He owned it.
He's on it, bruh. But all the if you've listened to players talk and their pressers, there has been so much what word I want to use, so much appreciation for the addition how you pronounce his name? Matt Rhea? Rhea? I would say his name, right? Dr. Matt Rhea. He's a PhD. Let me put that some fucking respect on his name. He's an athlete engineer that I remember when it was reported, you know, that they were trying to get him from Alabama.
Yeah.
They were able to get him from Alabama. Again, that's something DA doing something a little different. And just listen to players talk about him and the team and just preparation and how to take care of your body. It really seems like they feel like it's helping their bodies, which is huge, a huge underrated subplot of this season that's kind of flown under the radar that even you and I haven't talked about enough.
Right. The fact that they see it really is that's all that counts, because, you know, teams like to always bring in experts. Remember Chip Kelly with the whole sports science thing?
Yes.
All that stuff. And, you know, players did not like that. Whatever they were doing, the players were like, nah. But, you know, to find somebody that can come in and really, you know, get players to buy in, because that's really all that counts. The players have to buy in to what you're selling. So, you know, hopefully it works, whatever he's doing. I don't know anything. I can't give you opinions on it. Like, I would be purely talking out of my ass. So, you know, I just hope it works. Anything to alleviate, especially those annoying injuries that just kind of stick around, anything to alleviate that and just keep players, you know, in shape and hydrated and stuff like that. Because this is a long, man, 18-week season just for the regular season? Boy, that's a long haul, boy, playing football, bro. I mean, that's a
grueling
marathon.
Bro.
That is grueling. A marathon, man. So
it is.
So I'm glad, you know, DA kind of trying to think out the box to try to, you know, alleviate things. You know, if you listen to DA, he talked about, you know, they asked him about two-a-days a while back, and he was like, man, whoever thought about two-a-days, that was like the worst idea ever. You know, and you know, your coaches talk like that, but, you know, he knows that, like, man, that made no sense. Like, it made no sense to have two padded practices every day, you know, during camp, you know, day after day after day. You know, you hear players, old players talk about that, and they talk about it with a little pride that they like, yeah, you know, these players, they don't have to go through what we went through. Like, man, bro, like y'all bodies were annihilated by the time you were 26. You know what I'm saying? Like, like y'all had no bone, no cartilage left between your knees. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so that, no, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And you can still have tough physical players without having two-a-day practices and all that shit. You know, so I just look forward to it just to see how it works out. You know, and just to see if that, you know, is something that, you know, can help a little success. Maybe it doesn't add to the win column, but it's something that just, you know, adds to the culture of the Saints, you know.
No, I agree with you. And as we know, man, coaches will do anything to try to get an upper edge against an opponent or a team, bro. It's just the nature of the business. But speaking of like soft, you know, tissue injuries and things of that nature, I know I talked about it last episode, but like, good to see. Sorry, before I get into this, good to see Peyton Turner came back. He's out there. He's practicing again. That's good. Why is Marcus Davenport still on PUP?
I don't know, man. It has to be. I don't know.
Like, bro, you started off like you was about to give me like you gotta be out of shape, and then just like
you gotta be out of shape, dude. Right? Like you gotta be out of shape,
and like and can't pass a physical. Like it has to be right. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's boggling. It's boggling to me because I'm like, okay, there have been non-practices that have happened.
Right.
The next practice. So there's a practice tomorrow, then they have a day off, and I believe they'll start practicing again on Monday. Preseason games on the 13th. And I know it's a long preseason, but man, I know August is a long month, but August gonna go by real quick.
Well, here's the thing. If he's not even off PUP, okay, he won't be in the first preseason game. We know that.
Right.
Highly unlikely he'd be in the second preseason game because, you know, they got to work you in. You get in, you play off to the side, you know, you do some one-on-ones. Then the next week you're getting team drills and this and that. So highly unlikely he's in the second preseason game. Maybe he can make the third preseason game, you know, maybe not. And it's just like a repeat, man. It's like Groundhog Day. This is like the same old same, you know, year after year. Davenport missing preseason, maybe misses the first week or two of the season. Comes in, looks great, and leaves. It's like I just want him, man. I just want him to shine. I want him to shine, man. I want him to ball out to the point where the Saints are sitting there frustrated, like, man, what do we do? You know, do we pay him $17 million a year, or do we franchise tag him, or do we let him walk? I want him to have that type of season.
Right.
You know, because we need it. Like,
oh, yes.
He is such a key. If he can be that dude, bruh, man, with that secondary,
oh. It gets the possibilities get like they get nasty, bro. But like it's a king, he got to get healthy first, or he got to get into shape, or whatever it is, it has to happen. I'll be happy when he can finally start practicing and he's off PUP. And let me also say this. If it's anything like related to his, you know, his amputation and, you know, and yeah. That and like, I feel bad for us kind of going in on him, right. But if it's just like he got it amputated and then like he just like stopped like doing anything to get in shape, because like I said it, bro, like even if you get your pinky amputated, like you still get on a treadmill, right? Like I don't know. But in his absence, it seems like maybe Big Creep is taking like a tiny step in terms of being a better player. Like sounds like he's flashed quite a lot here and there in training camp, because those snaps got to go to somebody, and he's taken a large number of those snaps in Davenport's absence.
No doubt. I think Big Creeper has shown he's a quality pass rusher. Not a great pass rusher, but he's quality. He's good against the run. Does some dumb things here and there, but I think we kind of know what we're going to get from him. And if he did have to play, a lot of snaps, you're not going to, it's not like a huge downgrade. You got a guy that can give you something. And then you still got Cam Jordan and hopefully Peyton Turner, continues his growth. But man, just that Marcus Davenport piece, man, that's like such a big puzzle piece.
Huge.
Huge puzzle piece, man. It's like when you're building a puzzle and they got that big main piece, that's one you need right there, bro.
Woo! Couldn't have said it better myself. Because if you don't have that puzzle, you just looking. Saints brought back Kiko Alonso today. Or not today, yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I think your yod was the appropriate response.
I don't know, he wasn't even that good when he was healthy. Like, I don't know.
Like, he was okay. Like, he was fine.
I literally forgot about him. I forgot. Like, when they brought his name up, I was like his name must have got zapped from my memory. Because I remember liking him. He came out of Oregon. Was he at Oregon?
Yes, he was.
I remember liking him coming out of Oregon. I was like, man, this is a dude. I could see him being we would switch it to a 3-4 defense. I was like, man, he'd come in, be an inside 3-4 linebacker, da da da. And I liked him. And okay, we eventually signed him after him having like 10 ACL surgeries or whatever. And he was fine. He was a fine linebacker, But then he'd been out since 2019. And now you bring him back. It's like, okay, like, well, what am I supposed to think about that? Like, to me, it's barely newsworthy, bro. Like, barely newsworthy.
I tend to agree a bit. I don't see it much more than a player maybe signed for depth in training camp and some preseason snaps, more than anything. But then I saw, like, and this means nothing, but like from time to time he was getting in the ones. Yeah. And I was like, is Zach Bond this terrible? Like, is he just that bad?
It's like, man, Zach Bond is
not. Bro, how do you go from not playing football in 3 years, and then you get signed, and Zach Bond was drafted 2 years ago, and he just, like, gets inserted up in front of you? What? I know it's been, like, speculated that Zach Bond's, like, roster spot is safe, but preseason's going to be huge. Unless the team has just deemed him a great special teamer, and I guess, but, like, if you drafted, like, a good to great special teamer in the third round, like, something went wrong at some point.
And I haven't seen a great special teamer. Like, I know he'd get downfield a couple times, but, like, man, like, he ain't no, Gray or, like, he nothing like that. Like, that is just a disappointing pick so far, man. Just disappointing. And I don't know what to do. Like, I don't even know how you fix that. I would think you would try him at rush, but obviously they are not inclined to do that at all. As a rush linebacker. So I don't know. I just feel like that was a waste. I just want to know, like, who picked him? Like, what was the thought process there? What was going on? Like, y'all, like, as a team, they should be able to look back at that and say, okay, where did we go right? Where did we go wrong? And figure out so they don't have to do that again. Like, was DA, did DA love him? I don't really get that feeling like he's a DA guy.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, what's going on there, man?
Kind of seems kind of like a Jeff Ireland pick, like a very. Yeah. But I digress. We
just see spark guy, just a spark or, you know, red score or something. I don't know.
And he had like, and I don't care about like the weak, like he had like the red flag, quote unquote red flag thing about like the dirty test at the combine for weed. Yeah. Like, it just, it was, whatever, man. One last thing I want to hit on in terms of defense. Honey Badger today was able to get in on 7-on-7s today after missing first week training camp. So he's slowly ramping up, getting up to speed. Sure, at some point he'll be in teams. Dennis Holland today said in his presser that the same is expected from Mike Thomas, that he'll probably be in team soon. So I would expect probably Mike Thomas to start team, being the team practices or team periods of the drills probably, I don't know, by like sometime next week, as long as, you know, healthy and able. And that's great. And just in terms of just stars getting healthy and being able to be where they need to be as the season gets closer. One thing I did find interesting with CD Deuce doing his little hold in or hold out or whatever you want to call it, is that from time to time they've used Justin Evans to cover the slot. And I'm just like, I just have a feeling that sign in is going to be a useful sign in, and just allows them to be more creative. I would be, and you know, this team has surprised me and shocked me, kind of not shocked, but has definitely surprised me in terms of some of the decisions they make with their 53-man roster and their cuts when it's time to cut down the roster. But I would be very surprised if Justin Evans doesn't make the team.
Yeah, me too. I agree. He's making the team. PJ Williams making the team.
Oh, easily, bro. You know, PJ just not the hero we wanted.
Yeah. Has a certain set of skills, man. He put on weight too, man. Apparently he liked up to 200-something pounds.
Okay.
Like he ready.
Say what you want about PJ, bro. When he hit, he be lighting players up, bro.
Take it out.
Take them legs out, PJ. I remember that. Was it him that hit Chris Godwin?
Yeah, man.
That's right. Let it be known, I'm not laughing that Chris Godwin got injured, but I'm laughing at like all the fucking outcry that happened.
Oh my god,
it was fucking ridiculous.
They had him on slow motion. And everything.
Got the Bruder film. See that right here? You can see Chris Godwin's his ACL just goes blah just because of the dirty hit. Awful. One thing I did want to talk about, and I'm breaking it up because Nick Underhill mentioned it, but are we closer to Trevor Penning starting than we thought we may have been?
I don't know, man. We just got to let this play out, man. I don't know. I just don't know. Because, I mean, like I said, man, I said on the last podcast, he has the tools. But, man, he just has to – put it all together to be consistent. But, look, I mean, they're giving him a chance, bro. Like, he came from his little one-day suspension or whatever it was, and, you know, they put him with the ones, and he handled himself, you know? I don't know. What you think?
So I've started using this in my lexicon a lot. So one of my favorite movies is Meet the Parents. One of my favorite scenes is when Ben Stiller is like has to like go back home alone, and he like has to get like the flight by himself, and the flight attendant's like, "Oh, sir, you can't put your bag up there," and he's like, "Where's the fucking fire? Like, where's the fire?" So anytime someone does something that is just dumb, it just in like a rush to do something, when obviously, like, perfect example, when we got back from LA or when we got to Hawaii, the whole thing when the fucking seatbelt sign goes off and everyone fucking jumps up, like,
yeah,
where's the fucking fire? Like, we're yeah. all. Like,
oh, I hate
anyway,
that.
It's the worst. Anyway, so my response to the question is, I would say, where's the fire? Yeah. Because, and here, I guess from a team's perspective, if they're even, and I would say they, I mean, James Hurst and Trevor Penning, by the end of training camp, if they're even, then obviously you should probably go with the rookie, right? That was makes sense. I worry about Trevor Penning starting out there week one. Mm-hmm. I know it's the Falcons, and I know they don't got a pat, but just I could just see a lot of holding penalties early. I could see a lot of
left tackle is hard, man.
Hard, bro.
The reason they take these guys number one overall, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to find good left tackles, especially even like the ones drafted high. You know, they have rough outs early in their career, man.
So. And if you just want to be historic about it, like, it used to be you draft your left tackle or your tackle in the top five, top 10, and it was like a position you didn't worry about. Like, the success right. rate was so high. But now, it's a 50-50 proposition. If you draft a tackle and it may be a complete bust. I remember, who was the Rams they drafted from Baylor? Like, just was just awful. Something Smith, Jason Smith,
Jason Smith,
awful. Bust. He was drafted like top three. So to your point, I would go with the vet, just in the sense of I saw James Hurst play last season, and for the most part, like he held his own, bro. Like like there weren't a lot of games where you're like, man, like James Hurst are getting worked, and he's just the reason why. You know, Jameis, or not Jameis, but whoever the quarterback was just getting destroyed. Like, you didn't hear about James Hurst, which as an offensive lineman is the best thing that can happen for you. So I would just say, let Trevor get that season in, bro. But I'll put the caveat and say, if Penny goes out there and he looking like a dog in the preseason, he just looking great, then you just kind of got to put him out there and just let it go.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, playing offensive line, we talk about the physical part, but it's a very, you know, mental position. So they
especially
really
for the Saints offense.
Oh man, Saints offense—that's a whole different story because the things they do—they help each other out, they help guards out, slide protections, switch from inside zone, outside zone, the power running game. Like, they do a lot, man. So it just makes sense that Hurst would be the starter at least early in the season, and, you know, we'll see how things go. That's just where I'm looking at it, man. Because, and look, I mean, I've heard DA loves Hurst. He really thinks Hurst is, like, the guy. And it's up to Trevor Penning to, like, take it from him. So I feel like if Penning does win it, I think he will win it. I don't think they're trying to give it to Penning. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's a good position to be in, because one position you don't want to be in is where you force to start a guy.
Nope.
You know, but you also never know, bro. Like, you never know. Like
Ramchek, bro.
Yeah, like Ramchek. Nobody was thinking like, oh man, Ramchek, man, just sit him over there and start, man. Streif got hurt and we was freaking out. It's like, oh shit, man, we got a Ramchek in there.
Like,
oh no, ain't never left that spot yet, man. He took it and ran with it. So you just don't know. That's why the preseason games are going to be so interesting. You know, just to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and again, not a typical one. They focus on these old linemen in preseason, but I'm going to be watching Ruiz, man. I'm going to be watching Penning. I really want to see how they progress and how they're looking. I'll ask you this though: Do you want to see Ram in preseason at all, bro?
Nope. Good, man. Like, I don't need to see any of your lockdown core starters: Ramchek, Lattimore, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, CeeDee.
I do want Peyton Turner to be out there.
Oh, he got to be out there. Oh my god, he needs it.
Yes.
He's not a starter.
No.
He's not a starter right now. He has to prove he could be a starter. You know? He needs to be out there. I need to see. So far, I've seen a few snaps in one game to show me, you know, that he's has talent. But you got to show you could play, bro. So he would definitely be out there. Davenport probably won't get a chance to be out there. I don't need to see Onyemata out there. You know, like, man, let the young dudes work, bro. Give them that work. I don't need to see Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, shoot. No.
You can let PJ chill, shoot. I guess Marcus May, do we know if he's missing the first two games tonight? Like, did that?
They ain't said nothing yet, bro. Let's keep that
be on the DL, man. I don't want Roger Goodell be like, you know, like listening to this episode, be like, you know what? I completely forgot to get Marcus May. Let me go fix that real quick.
Completely forgot.
I will say that I do expect the Watson suspension will be handed out. I expect it to come down next week, bro. I do.
So, I guess from what I've heard, okay, they sent down a suspension and say the NFLPA appeals it, tries to take it to federal court.
Right.
Regardless, he's going to have to do those six games.
Ah.
And then after that, it's like wait and see.
Ah.
It's weird. I don't know, man.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Because apparently since they already agreed to the six games, they can't get out of that. Like, they can't put an injunction in and say, okay, well, he gets to start the season. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So at the very least.
Six games for sure, with the possibility and high likelihood. Because I know that I think Florio was saying that. Oh no! Because that's after federal court. But a high probability that it could be more and will likely be more.
Yeah, right.
Gotcha. I did want to just mention that, you know, I know he's still not practicing yet, but seeing Taysom Hill getting work on the. On the sideline is big. It's important, but that's what like a healthy Taysom. And I think I know healthy Taysom is kind of like a unicorn now. Like it's like he stays healthy for like a very finite period of time, and like when it's gone, it's gone. He's had a lot of injuries in his football career. You know, even dating back to being at BYU. But potentially having it, I'm just going to give you this rundown of the offense, bro. I'm going to give you this rundown of the offense. Let me know what you think of it. Okay. Hurst, Pete, McCoy, Reese, Ryan Ramczyk, Jameis at quarterback, AK. Let's say they want to have two tight ends on the, I'm probably messing up the numbers because I'm not counting. But let's say they want to go double tight end. Adam Trautman, who has had good camp, a healthy Taysom as maybe a move tight end, or you can have Taysom instead of being a tight end and in line, you could have him in front of AK and kind of be like that move fullback position. You use them all over where you want to. MT on the outside, Jarvis on in the slot, Chris Olave on the outside.
That's tough, babe. I mean, it depends on the team you're going against. You had to go against a good defense with a lot of DBs or a ferocious pass rush.
Yes.
That could take care of the interior. It would have to be a pass rush. Like, the pass rush is – that's why the O-line is just so critical, bro.
Crucial, bro.
Because, like, if this team can block – oh, my God. Like, I don't know what you're trying to stop.
Ooh, he just called.
I just let one loose, bro. Like,
I don't know.
How do you stop him? Like, if this offensive line can block.
You want me to be Debbie Downer and give you the actual answer?
Oh, yeah. No, I know the answer.
It depends on which Jameis shows up, bro.
Because, look, I mean, look, Jameis does kind of welcome some pass rush. But, man, when they block, like, come on, bro. Like, even Jameis yes. got to perform that.
Got to, bro. He got to. I'm trying to flip it around on you real quick. Let's go defense. I want to hit on one other thing before we get out of here. I guess Marcus Davenport, in theory. Marcus Davenport, shot total, David Onyemata, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Pete Warner, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, CeeDee in the slot, Taran, safety, Marcus May, safety. I forgot to mention this in talking about Adebo, is that there's been a lot of praise, and you kind of mentioned it too, in Bradley Roby this year compared to just joining the team like on the fucking fly and just throwing out there and not he's had like a good to damn good camp. He's 100% making the team. There's a part of me that think he wasn't gonna make the team. He's 100% making the team. But that defense, and I forgot, like, you know, you got Tano as a backup in, you got Peyton Turner, a first round pick.
These streets.
That's a defense, bro. That's a defense,
man. The back end, like, the safeties are a question to be. Not like, are they going to be good? It's just the whole communication and how they just all play together. Marcus May, Tyrann Mathieu. I'm so curious to how they all play together with the multiple schemes that DA likes to run. You know,
I will say that I think this goes a long way. It's little things like this. But Marcus May and DeMario Davis were teammates before.
Yeah, they were.
And
it was a rookie.
Yeah, and they, like, little stuff like that. It's like, okay, I play with you. If I say something, you know what to do. What, like, that shit that, you know, I'm sure when they signed Marcus May, that wasn't like in their mind. But, like, on the field, that's a huge thing that can help in terms of communication. Last thing I wanted to bring up, speaking of, you know, before we close out. Okay, neither of us watched the Raiders Jack Hall of Fame game.
Nope.
But I found it super interesting that the Raiders didn't pick up the 5th-year option on Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, been on my radar.
Didn't pick that up. Okay, like, part of me understands it. Like,
you know, I get it.
I got it.
Running back, you know.
Didn't the Hall of Fame game, like, Josh McDaniel had that man, like he ran, like, almost, like, I don't know what the number was, but, like, in the tens, he got, like, work, like, it was, like, a regular season game early in that game, bro. And that's weird in a Hall of Fame game.
It ain't weird. That's trying to show case talent.
Uh-oh. Hey,
come get him.
Uh-oh.
Come get him. That's what that is.
It has to be, right? Because I know, you know how Greg is. Greg's like, oh, no, that's what it was. He just comes from the Bill Belichick tree, and they have weird things when it comes to how they run preseason. It's like, but that's like your starting running back, and even though your team might largely be running back by committee, which completely understand, that's weird, man. It's weird. So in saying all that, my question to you is, man, if Josh Jacobs is out there, we've been eyeing this RB2 position. But you go out there, you get Josh Jacobs, it couldn't cost more than what? A fourth?
Nothing more than a fourth.
Fourth?
I think it'd be less than that.
I do too, but I just put it at the highest. So let's say it costs a fourth to go get Josh Jacobs. Then you basically, you don't have a RB2, you have a running back 1A and a running back 1B.
Right.
Like, I don't know. We don't know if Josh Jacobs is officially, like, on the trade block. But just watching how the Raiders have just treated that situation, it kind of seems like he is on the trading block. And if he is, if I'm the Saints, I'm making that call. I'm making it, bro. Like, you've shown that you wanted to be quote unquote all in and a contender, and this is not a rebuild. We feel like you can win now. Go get Josh Jacobs. He's available. Because even if AK gets suspended six games this year, I know the offense isn't the same, but the drop off from AK to Josh Jacobs isn't the same as like drop off to like AK to like an older Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot similar to Ingram.
Yes,
in his younger days, you know what I'm saying? Like he runs the rock, he totes physical up the middle. He could catch, but he's not like a slasher. You could do a lot worse than Josh Jacobs, man. And like I said, I don't think it, man. I think it'll be cheap, man. Like 2024 conditional six type shit. Like
you think it's gonna be that cheap because
he's on his last year of his deal, man. Like, so whoever's getting him, you're getting him for a 1 year rental.
Yes.
So it will come down to them. It will come down to the Raiders feeling like, what's more worth? You paying Josh Jacobs this year or taking whatever we can get for him and getting rid of his salary and, you know, just moving on. Like, it'll come down to that. But I'd make an offer. Like, if I was to say, I'd make an offer right now. Like, hey, what y'all looking for? You know, I'll give you this, you know. But, you know, Saints got to see what they have. You know, Mark Ingram, you know, you can just kind of – I wouldn't say count him out, but you kind of know what you're going to get from him, and it's going to be limited. He's older. You know, it all comes down to the young bucks, man. You know, Ahmad, Abram Smith, I mean, Malcolm Brown, Tony Jones Jr.
He making plays in training camp, right?
I don't want y'all. Come on. Y'all gonna fall for that again?
Not gonna fall for the banana and the tailpipe.
I don't want to hear it.
You're not falling for the banana and the tailpipe, bro. You know you ain't falling.
A Zigbo, you know, like I don't know.
It's gonna be interesting. It'll be fascinating to see how it plays out. But we kind of talked about how on paper, you know, talent-wise, how this team is assembled. But I really feel like if you go out there and they add a – and I get it. You said it right. Like, they got to see what they have. And just you go get Josh Jacobs, and the way that you can attack defenses, maybe this game, we just want to just pound it. Just hard. And maybe it's another team where it's like, oh, they linebackers booty. AK, fuck them niggas up. Like,
tear them up.
Like, it just opens so much. But we'll see, man. I think this preseason, this period from now until the start of the season, is really going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. Not just for the Saints, just in general. You know, in terms of the NFL, man, it's gonna be really interesting. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, it's late. We got on here. We wanted to just recap these last two practices and training camp. Again, shout out to John Hendricks for his write ups, his stellar write ups, the work that Josh Hendricks is doing. It's great. We'll be back next week. And again, if you're not part of if you're not a Patreon yet, you can become one. I literally just tweeted it out. This upcoming not this Saturday, but like next Saturday is our first Zoom live stream.
Streaming
watching the Texas game, bro. We gonna be. I just know, bro. We gonna be joked out. Just joked
that's,
out. Bro.
That's on the 13th.
13th, bro.
Damn, man, I'm gonna be in New Orleans. Gotta figure that out. I'm gonna figure it out.
Even if you could only participate like the first quarter, we make sure Ryan gonna be.
I might be streaming from the call. Shit, I'm gonna be on that thing.
But thank y'all so much. I just thank y'all. it means a lot to Ryan and I to knowing that y'all have our back. Y'all appreciate what we're doing and what we're trying to build. This was not our intention. But I think to quote Doctor Strange, bro, like, we in the end game now. Like, yeah, if we couldn't be like, you know what, I don't need this no more. Like, can't go back. And I can sincerely say that when I had stopped, you know, doing podcasts and had stepped down from doing podcasts, whatever years ago it was now, I didn't have any inclination to podcast or do podcast hosting again. But the fact that I'm able to do it with Ryan, which is such a good friend I've known for years now, like the fact that my kid's about going to seventh grade is mind blowing. But we appreciate y'all. We appreciate our audience, and we're just going to continue to, you know, give y'all content because it's what y'all deserve. So we'll be back next week. Thank y'all. With that, we're out.
Peace.